How many of you glad that Jesus is in the house? Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's worship Him. The next 30 or 35, 40 minutes we spend together can change our lives. Can change your life. Depends on what you're expecting. Hallelujah. For four crazy friends, they dropped down a guy through a roof in the presence of Jesus. And the presence of God, the power of God was present to heal. But only the dude that came through the roof got healed. Everybody else was a spectator. Don't be a spectator in church. I said, don't be a spectator in church. Be the dudes that ripped the roof off and said, I'm coming to get something from God today. I'm coming to hear from God. Are you ready to hear from the Lord today? Hallelujah. As you know, I've been in this church for more than a few minutes. Hallelujah. And I so appreciate the spirit of faith in this house. I appreciate the integrity in this house. I appreciate the level of excellence in this house. It reflects on our pastors who believe in excellence and excellence in ministering the word. I have never come to this church in over 40 years, maybe 41, 42 years. Never have I come to church and it was flat. Never, ever. I always sense the presence of God. Isn't that right, Rosa? From the first day I walked into this place, I said, like, wow, this place is real special. And any congregation that will open their heart to God like that, they're sensing His presence too. All around the world, just remember this, all around the world, believers are gathering in His name. Hallelujah. Every continent, every tribe, every nation of all kinds, different languages, they're gathering in His name. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So today I am taking the opportunity to continue a series on know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And this I borrow from, of course, the song, Kenny Rogers. And I found out in life, a lot of what happens to you in life or how your life unfolds depends on what you hang on to and what you choose to let go of. They are choices. Deuteronomy 30 says, God said, behold, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Right? And He says, you choose so that you can live. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that I found out that God's word is good. And I have chosen God's word. I've chosen God's will. I've chosen life. I hope that everyone in the within the sound of my voice is choosing life today. Hallelujah. That comes through the Prince of Life, Jesus. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. I am going to minister today, part one. And it has to do with promises. What you do with promises. And I need you to have an open mind about this. I'm going to minister on Wednesday night also. We'll have a little preview here. But our everyday life is filled with the concept of promises, even though we don't call them promises. I'll be there at 3 o'clock. Oh, I'll bring the pizza. Don't worry about that. I'll do the dishes. I'll do the dishes. How about, I'll have that report to you by Friday. Come on, people. We make promises from everyday life. Little things, big things. You know you're making a promise when you sit at the escrow table. Somebody said yes. Somebody here in this house has sat at an escrow table and you signed a promissory note. And you made a promise that you would pay a certain amount for a piece of property. I know somebody in this house sat across from a car dealer. Sorry about that, folks. And you signed a contract. And you said, I will pay a certain amount for whatever, 60 months, or if you go to this church, maybe God will bless you to buy it cash. I have no idea. Don't limit God. I love Pastor. He's preaching a wonderful series on not limiting God. Amen. And then on Wednesday nights, he's preaching on the believer's advantage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you have your ears on then, and I hope you have your ears on today. Promises are nothing new. Here's a thought. Hallelujah. Let's have a look at promises today and what role they play in our lives and how they affect us in our world, our relationships, our families, our work, and our communities. Here's a preview from Wednesday night's message where we'll deal with promises that we make. Okay, it would be helpful to touch on it just a little bit right now because it helps us to frame a frame of reference where society stands today with regard to promises. And we, even though we live in the world, we're not... Thank you. See, we have a smart bunch here, Pastor Nancy. You see, did you hear that? They know that we're in the world, but not of the world. We operate by a different set of rules. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're ambassadors of the Lord. You're a child of God. I ran across an article that was just fascinating, and it is entitled, How to Live by Your Word When Most Men Don't. And again, this is just a little preview of Wednesday night. In ancient Sparta, a man's word was his bond, not because of contracts, but because dishonor meant exile or death. In medieval Japan, a samurai would rather slice his own belly open than break an oath. How about today? Men cancel plans with a text. They promise without thinking. They lie to avoid discomfort. And the article said, this isn't just weak. It's cultural decay. A man who doesn't keep his word is a shadow of a man. Are you listening, men? He may have money, status, or power, but without integrity, he is already forgotten. Below is the lost art of living by your word. And it's why it's the single greatest competitive edge a man can have today. Now, just a little bit more on this. Why your word matters more than ever. Historical precedent. Roman legionnaires swore oaths to their generals and died before breaking them. Knights of the Round Table upheld vows even when it cost them their lives. Wild West pioneers shook hands on deals with no lawyers, no contract, just trust, their word, and a handshake. Modern society rewards flexible morals. We celebrate men who hack the system, cut corners, and manipulate words to avoid responsibility. In today's world, listen up, words are cheap. Lies, exaggerations, and half-truths are the rule of the day. Not so at Heart of the Bay. Not so in the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, there is a premium on truth, faithfulness, and integrity. Amen. Especially as it relates to making commitments, pledging loyalties, taking vows, and making and keeping, everybody say it, promises. Now I'll go ahead and say it. Your quality of life today, in many ways, I'm just saying this. I'm throwing this out as a thesis. Your quality of life today depends much on who made and kept their promises to you. And what promises you made and kept. Just think about it. A promise is only as good as the promisor. A promisor is simply the person who makes the promise in a legal agreement. When you enter into a contract, one party agrees to do something for another party. The one making the promise is the promisor. Get it? While the person receiving the promise is called the promisee. This relationship is fundamental in contracts because it establishes who is responsible for fulfilling the terms of the agreement. Amen. Does everybody get that? Now, if you haven't had the luxury of being the president of a homeowner association like I had for about 20 years at Forest Avenue? I don't know. 12 years. Okay, so I had to work out contracts all the time. Now, listen to this. For example, if you hire someone to paint your house, or in this case, the entire complex, which I did, you are the promisee because you are receiving a service, and the painter, which happened to be Mike Mooney. Remember Mike Mooney way back then? Harold, the truck driver and all that. So I hired his company to paint our entire complex there in Castro Valley. Anyway, so the painter is the promisor because they are promising to complete the job, which I'm happy to say he did. He did a wonderful job. I know he's not hearing me, but never mind. That was years ago. This promise can be about anything, such as delivering goods, providing services, even paying money. The importance... Oh, somebody came alive on that one. The importance of identifying the promisor lies in understanding who is obligated to perform under the contract. So are you ready to get into it? Today we're talking about the promises of God. Numbers 23:19, our first scripture of the day, with my friends in high places. New King James Version. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Where God is concerned, his words are never cheap. His words are never inflationary or exaggerated. He means exactly what he says. And he has a history of performing whatever promise came out of his lips. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6 in the English Standard Version, verses 11 through 20. We desire each of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Listen to this. Inherit promises, or get your hand on those. And I could tell by the way that we were worshiping today that there are many of us in the room that you either need to find a promise or you're barely hanging on to one. But I have good news for you. God will not let you down. He will not, he will not, he will not relax his hold on you. He knows your address. He knows your name. Not that he needs it, but he knows your social security number. And he knows just how to get to you exactly what you need right on time. I don't know where you have been in other places, but in this house, he is an on-time God. He always provides well-timed help in a time of need. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Is there a witness in the house? Yes. Woo! I'm going to get me... I was praying for an amen corner. Do I still have my amen corner back there? Hallelujah. I'm just looking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your Lord. The certainty of God's promise. Verse 13. For when God made a... Everybody say promise. To Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. Verse 15. And thus Abraham, having patiently what? Waited. What did he do? Obtained the promise. Hallelujah. Right, Brother Jimmy? I hear that hallelujah. For people swear by something greater than themselves and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly, God is trying to convince you this morning that His Word is good. And I'm not talking about religiously. I'm going to use this more in a colloquial sense. You have my word on it. Ever heard that before?
Yes.
I hear God saying, son, daughter, you've got my word on it. I give you my word. I don't mean I give you my Bible. I mean the promise that God gave you that whispered in your spirit and that you went up and down the hallway praising Him year in and year out. He's saying, I'm good for it. I will perform it in your behalf. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I heard an amen from over there. Yes, He will. Hallelujah. So when God desired to show more convincingly to heirs, are you heirs?
Yes.
Come on, say yes.
Yes.
You are heirs according to the promise. That's exactly who we are. Everybody that names the name of Jesus. Whether you knew it or not, you're an heir. And if you don't know anything about being an heir, let me help you. There's some good things. Usually you go to a lawyer and they read the will. Or they read the trust. And they say, I'm going to leave Tundi $250,000. Ooh, hallelujah. You know that's possible, Brother Tundi. Sister Oyin, would that be okay? You know that would be all right. Anybody have some? But he did more than that. You have been given the name that is above every name, and you're an heir, first of all, of righteousness. I don't think you guys realize how awesome it is to be forgiven of our sins. We live in a culture that's so promiscuous and so loose. I'll take a minute on this, even though it's not on the notes. You know, Jesus is watching the Pharisees and all the doctors of the law, and He poses this question to them. What's easier? For me to tell this invalid man who's been invalid his entire life, stand up and walk, in other words, to heal him instantly like that, or to forgive his sins? What's easier? You tell me. I could feel this real awkward pause. Wow. Don't tell me He's going to do that. He's not going to do that. But so that you can know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He turns to the man and He says, I say to thee, arise. And he got up and walked instantly. There was no therapy. There wasn't any sessions with a physical therapist. No, none of that. It says He got up instantly. Instantly. And what Jesus did is He elevated, listen to this, He elevated the miracle of the forgiveness of sins to the level of having an invalid that has never walked in their life to get up instantly and be healed and walk about and run about and praise and leap and thank God. So when you tell me that forgiveness of sin is a small thing, I have to turn you to that. Was that a big miracle? You know that the guy was healed, you know, from... Well, so it is to be forgiven of sin. Righteousness. You are an heir first and foremost of righteousness. Don't you forget that. The next time the devil tries to beat you up over some mistake that you might have made a week ago or a month ago or last night, you just remind him that you were blood-bought and that you are an heir of salvation. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed your iniquity from you. Hallelujah. And He ain't going to dig it up, and He asks you not to dig it up. Hallelujah. So let me just read some of this. When I was a young man, I craved assurance. I craved something I can count on. I grew up in church, and I grew up with good people. I was in a ministry family. We enjoyed going to church. We really did. I enjoyed it. I want to thank God for my parents. I think my pops is watching right now. Hey, Dad, what's up? My pops is watching right now. They brought me up in church, and I thank God for it. There came a time, though, when I was an adult, where I needed The things I was facing, I needed something I could count on. Is that you? I needed to hear something about the Word, that God had given me His Word. I needed to know how to pray a little bit more. Just need a little more help. How many of you can relate to that? I needed assurance that God was not going to let me down. Hallelujah. So I come across again to Numbers 23:19, this time in the voice. God is not a man. He doesn't lie. He isn't the son of man to want to take back what he said or say something and not follow through. And dear Lord, you know you are surrounded with people, unfortunately, that don't come through for you. Oh yeah, bring your car to the mechanic. It'll be ready by 3 o'clock. You're on a tight schedule. You might take Uber there and you get there and you have to get back to work by, 3:30. Oh, we're sorry. It's not ready yet. Like what? You said it would be ready by 3. You know what I'm talking about? People that are brave. We don't call it lying, but honestly, people aren't coming through for us. And if I can be honest about it, this is what's going to be hard. Wednesday night is not going to be easy. Because God's putting His finger on all of it. He's putting His finger on me. He's encouraging us to be people of our Word. But the only way that you could be a person of your Word is first and foremost to acknowledge that God is a God of His Word. And to walk like that. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I please. It shall prosper, not might, in the thing whereto I send it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I'll skip the Amplified version. Too many words. Hallelujah. Saving time. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to summarize a few things because we got a lot of good things. How many of you believe in God today? Did we pray already? God, give me utterance today. God, touch somebody's life. Help them to hope again. Help them to fight the good fight of faith and not stop. Yes, I remember that. Thank you, Lord. Abraham is an example to us, a wonderful example of promises. All right? So we start our journey in Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. Behold, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now this is Abraham, our example. Verse 18, who against hope, I might say natural human hope, believed on in hope, which would be godly hope or heavenly hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. I know you've heard this before, many of you, but keep your ears open. Keep your spirit alert. He said he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here's the word. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God, being persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I am so grateful today. You have no idea how grateful I am to have a church, to have brothers and sisters like you that are determined to not stagger at the promises of God. I am so grateful to have pastors that refuse to stagger at the word of God, at the promise of God through unbelief. But rather, in this house, we grow strong in faith as we give glory to God. I said, as we give glory to God. I've had the pleasure of more than 40 years being in this house, helping the effort of causing this church to give glory to God. And by the way, while you're giving glory to God, it's not always that you have the victory in your hand. Many of you are doing it by faith. It's the sacrifice of praise, you understand. But those things that you're holding dear in your heart, those promises that God has whispered in you in deep times of intimate prayer, what you're doing is you're putting a praise on it. Hallelujah. I'd do that song if I could. Put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Does it make a difference whether or not you put a praise on it. Oh, absolutely. I said absolutely. I like what the scripture says. Whoso offereth what? Praise. Not whoso offereth analysis. No. Whoso offereth praise. Whosoever offereth updates. No, no. Whoso offereth praise. That type of praise is called tauda praise, which is the kind of praise you do it ahead of time. Before you ever got anything. You're just praising God because He's God. You're praising Him just because He's the healer. I wish I had time to tell you of the amazing healings that God has done in my life where I just praised Him because He's the healer. Not because I wanted to. I mean, surely I wanted to be healed, but this thing was so persistent. I just kept praising God. I wish I had time. But I just kept praising Him because He was God. Because He was Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. And I received that and I didn't. Say, you don't need to heal me because that's who you are. No, I said, you're that. And I'm saying in your face, devil, right now, right through the pain, right through the dysfunction, right when I can't sleep, right when it's throbbing, I'm going to praise God. And I'm dancing quietly. I don't want to make a scene. People are sleeping in the house, but I'm just praising Him. I'm just thanking. I told you I wish I had time and I don't. But the end of that story is that in that little kitchen in Forest Avenue, the presence of God came into that kitchen to a young man that was in the position where I could almost not use my hand. I had to ice it. I felt like my career is over. God came down and visited me in that little kitchen. Hallelujah. I said He visited and He came down and I experienced, not that you have to, but I experienced for the first time in my life what some people have described as like liquid warm honey coming all through my being. And it went, it went all the way down the bottom. And then when it was all, after it reached the bottom, the pain was gone. Hallelujah. And has not come back. I don't know. Y'all don't hear me. To him that ordereth his conversation, you offer praise and you order your conversation aright. It's to him I'm going to show the salvation of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh man, I'm getting excited in the house. I think I have more than just an amen corner. I think at least I have an amen section. Hallelujah. Give him some praise, somebody. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And if you trust him, if you believe in him, if you praise him, hallelujah, without fail, he's watching over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to some of these. Can you trust him? Look at what it says in 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56 in the New King James says this, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses." Let's go to in the ESV. Let's go to Joshua 21:45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord made to the house of Israel had failed. Everybody say it. All came to pass. Hallelujah. I like 2 Corinthians 1:19. If you aren't excited yet, this should really, really encourage you. For Jesus Christ, in the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 1:19. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. Listen, listen, saint. God has made up his mind. He is not wavering between yes and no. Are you listening? He's the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached unto you as God's ultimate yes. And he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding, everybody say it, yes. Through Christ, our amen, which means yes, and it ascends to God for his glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to skip because I just know that I have to do this. I have to skip a little bit. The call today is for you to contend for the promises that God has given you. Now, I'm going to make a little, not a disclaimer, but I'm going to clarify something. I realized just a number of years ago that I don't know what to pray as I ought. You know, some things are seem like pretty easy, but a lot of things that I face in life, I don't know how or what to pray according to Romans 8. And it says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmity, and He helps us. And He makes intercession for us, you know, according to the will of God. Is that right? And so I thought, you know, and Scripture plainly says, and I know we're a word church. I know that we put the word in our hearts, but this is a fine point. Try to catch this. I hope this blesses you. It isn't just fan through the Bible or your concordance or use ChatGPT to find something that sounds close. Find all the scriptures on XYZ and then, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I'll stand on that one. This is get in His presence and worship Him and wait upon the Lord and let him bring you need to hear His voice come through the word as He lifts it up into your heart. When He brings that promise to you and you ask yourself, God, is that the one that you want me? Is that the one that you're speaking to me?
Yes.
Because you love me and you care about me and you care about the situation. And you know what? When He impresses you, that's the one He's speaking to you right now. God is not a formula.
That's right.
God is not AI.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
AI is not going to get it.
That's right.
Sorry. The greatest software, and I know I have some software people in the house, the greatest hardware, the fastest chip you could ever make. And Silicon Valley has come up with some real doozies. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. They are not going to give you the Word of God. It doesn't come through ChatGPT. It comes through knee GPT. Get on your knees. Wait on God. I wish I had time. But I'm not telling you things that I'm thinking. I'm telling you about things that I know. Many years ago, not too long ago, the Lord delivered me from a $1 million debt. You just... whoop! Like, I felt like Psalm 126, Pastor Nancy. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like those that dream. It's like, really? Sir, what? Really? We couldn't believe our good fortune. It was so amazing. You get a letter, I mean, the day you get a letter in the mail, or it's not even a letter, it was an overnighter. And it's forgiving over $100,000 here and $50,000 here. And then all of a sudden new contracts are being drawn. I'm like, whoa, is that for real? It's for real. But it was not ChatGPT. It was getting on my knees before the Lord. There is no substitute. I'll pray for you till the cows come home. I just felt like saying that. Pastor Mark, Pastor Nancy, all of us, Pastor Brian and Linda, Pastor Kimberly, we're all going to, Pastor Kev, we all would pray for you till the cows come home. I just use that because Pastor Brenda, you know me. But nothing can substitute for you going to the throne room of grace, to the one that promised you that I will never, never leave you. Yeah. He said, this is a promise. I will never, ever forsake you. That's His promise. Amplified version. I like the Amplified version. It takes the promise and makes it bigger. Hallelujah. Not inflation, just more clear. Hallelujah. I will never, never relax my hold on you. Never, never, no, never. Hallelujah. I believe that would be Hebrews 13:15 in the Amplified, part B. But God is good. Is God good or what? I hear a call from heaven to contend for the promise that you have taken time to get before God and wait upon Him. And He brought that scripture into your spirit. And you say, God, is that the one? Is that the one? He goes, that's the one. Come on, everybody, say that's the one. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Nancy. I mean, this is a word church, and I know you people read the Bible. How many people in this house read the Bible? And you make it your aim to read it on a regular basis. And so you have a whole lot more word in you than in some other places. But we can't just rest on laurels because you read the Bible. I read my three chapters and then my fourth chapter and this and that. It's like, what is God saying to you right now? Because this is not a formula. Hallelujah. I got another testimony, but I'm going to wait. I hear a call for us to contend for the promises of God. Do I hear an amen in the house?
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage a good warfare. Hello. I want to emphasize the importance of contending for the promises of God and fighting the good fight of faith, both personally and corporately. This I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that were previously given you. Amen. I call you to fight. Are you listening? And you could call this prophetic promises. I know that sounds a little funny. We're not of that camp. We have a prophetic promises. But you know, some things, as far as I'm concerned, if you're in the presence of God and He impresses a now word into you, that's prophecy. That's the Spirit of Christ. And that's a word that's come alive in your life and in your prayer life, in your communion with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, it's a prophetic promise. But understand that just because you received a promise doesn't mean that it's automatically going to happen. I think we're old. We've grown up enough to understand that. You see, Hebrews talks about the children of Israel who received a promise. It's, you know, the word was preached to them, but they didn't mix it with faith. So God said, you're not entering into my rest. So then He says, we need to take heed so that we do something so that we make sure their unbelief made God's promise of none effect. That's right. A person could limit God. You can limit God. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. Or I'm not going to do something about it. But you got to be at least like Mary, who took those words and took them on the inside. And I like what Brother Copeland, he had 3 points to make. When there's a prophetic word that comes out, and in this case, I mean, it could be a minister that came to town. It could be something through TV. It's somebody prophesied. But it could be you in your prayer room and the Spirit of God spoke to you. Number one, you need to learn to stand on that promise. Hallelujah. So the old timers knew what that was. I said the old timers knew what that was. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Even when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Psalm 119, verse 48 and 49. This is the psalmist saying, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate in your statutes. That is an act of worship. I see two things. That's an act of worship, that I will lift up my hands, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but there's been a few things that Pastor Mark has dropped a few little hints, you know, here and there. He goes, get on the dance floor. Get up in the morning, get on the dance floor. And more recently with his series on, you know, the believer's advantage, he says, take your seat. Take your seat of authority.
Amen.
Wake up and take your seat of authority. So in this case, I got to tell you, thank you, Pastor Mark. You have changed my life forever. I mean, I always like get up and pray in the Spirit, but now it's really out of control. I get up in the morning and I'm just thanking God. Just first, it's crazy, 5 a.m. or something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can't do it in my bedroom because my wife will say, would you stop that? You're being annoying. Yeah, but I'm getting my dance on. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like what Brother Hagin said. This will work for you when you get excited about it. Hallelujah.
Yeah, come on.
There are some things, look, some people, they get things mixed up. Some things are trying to do with praise with only what the Word can do. Some people can do trying to do with the Word only what praise can do. And some people are trying to do with just one or the other what the combination of the two can do. So let me tell you, let me show you about this little scripture. It's really cool. It says, my hands also will I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and meditate on your statutes. So lifting up of the hands, there's a little key here in the Amplified. My hands also I will lift up in fervent supplication to your commandments. Fervent, hallelujah, which I love and I meditate. Hallelujah. You know, when you get excited about that promise that God gave you, you're not waiting for something to happen. Come on, Christian, get this. You've got to get this. It's what helped me just to help somebody take a burden and take a, you know, a large financial burden off their shoulders. God just blessed last week. I can't begin to tell you. But it was just a combination of the Word of God and lifting up my hands in His promises. Hallelujah. Praising Him. Hallelujah. But I want to share this with you right here, because I could tell that some of you were just a little bit flat today. I love you. I'm not trying to say anything, because I've been flat. I mean, I've really been flat sometimes. My wife will tell you. Right, hon? I get flat. Not often, but I'm trying to be sharp. Not flat, huh? Please look at Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. We're almost done here. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. I remember waiting on the Lord, and this scripture came to me just like that. This was like, you might call it a prophetic thing. It just came to me. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will, listen, never hold their peace, day or night. Get the picture. You who are His servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of what? Of His promises, and keep not silent. I like this other phrase. And give Him no rest. Wow. I don't think you heard this. Let me go on these key phrases. It says, never hold your peace. God tried to talk to me about, you know, some battles that we fight in life, they're prolonged. Is that right? I really wish, sister, like one of my sisters was sharing with me, that things were instant. Sister Andrean was, we had a phone conversation the other day. I don't know where you are. I thought I saw you here, but it's just like, man, you know, there's so many things that God does that's instant. It's just like, oh yeah. So she shared some thoughts with me about how God does things instantly. And I how many of you like instant? Yeah. I like instant. Whoa, sign me up. There she is. But I says, you know, some things, they're not instant. Some things take a while. I mean, think about Joseph. It took a while. You know, he had to go through a process. How about Abraham? It wasn't all instant. It took a process. In fact, many things in our life take a process. Don't get quiet on me, because God's still in the process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay the course. Hallelujah. There are things that you're going to have to keep, especially when it deals with people. You're trying to work. You know, I believe when I was a young man, I used to think the biggest thing that could possibly happen in my Christian life is pulling people out of wheelchairs and growing arms that weren't there and all this incredible miracles. But you know, one of the greatest miracles is for people to have a change of heart.
Amen.
To have a son or a daughter call you and say, we haven't spoken in a while, but I want to come and see you. Or to hear about, I made a decision to stop drinking. I'm not drinking anymore. I made a quality decision after X number of years. Change of heart.
That's right.
Or how about this? Sisters that aren't talking to each other. Strife.
Yeah.
And you go in your little prayer room and you're just seeking God for reconciliation. God, in the name of Jesus, bring healing to my family. Bring healing to those sisters. And to find out, like, say what? They got together or they took a trip or something, like, oh, praise God. God answers prayer.
Amen.
But some things take a process.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. Everybody say process.
Process.
Hallelujah. And as a result, we have to be persistent and consistent with our prayer life. We got to stay on the wall and not hold our peace. God challenged me on this. He said, you know that situation? I said, yeah. He says, you haven't been really praying fervently enough about it. I go, like, what? He put his finger on me. You need to pray for that family member. You need to get on it. I need you to not hold your peace day and night. I need you to do that. And then it goes on to say this. You need to put me in remembrance. You know, lifting up that son or daughter or uncle or aunt or whoever that name. Lifting it up before the Lord. And put him in remembrance of his promise. And he says, keep not silent. This is God talking. Give him no rest. So that the next morning he goes, oh no, it's PT again. Oh, it's PT. He's praying about calling the church paid in full again. Here it comes. I could see this, like, here it comes. Watch it. He's going to get up. And again, they're getting up. Hallelujah. There goes Mike and May again. They woke. They got up, put their feet on their own. They're dancing in the bed. They're thanking God that the building is paid in full. Hallelujah. There they go again. Some things take a while. Oh, there's Pastor Mark running up and down. Oh, Pastor Brenda joined him in Hallelujah Hallway. No, wait a minute. It's Pastor Tom running up and down Hallelujah Hallway.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but we got to move on some of these things. That's why when pastors ask us, are you in agreement? Do you know how powerful it is? Remember, in the world, words are cheap, but not in the church. When you take time in your prayer life to lift up the name of Jesus and to pray for your home church that God would give us wisdom, favor, and help us pay this thing off in full. You're doing your part. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Among other things. Praise God. So now watch this. Put the Lord in remembrance. So now in closing moments, I have about 5 minutes here. How many of you could take 5 minutes? Okay, I'm not going to pull a Mario Murillo. I'm just going to try to keep it to 5 minutes. That's it. Sorry, bro. Just 5 minutes. So, Pastor Tom, why is it that some things happen quickly and other things, like, take a long, long time? Well, I don't have all the answers, but I might have something that could help you. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read 1 Peter 8, 9. 5, 8, and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I'm submitting this to you. One of the reasons why things take a while is because we're not just dealing in this natural world. There's a whole lot more at play than what we could see with our natural eyes. And ChatGPT can't help you, by the way. Just saying. There are things in heavenly places. Come on. There are spirits in heavenly places, and they're resisting the will of God. I need chapter and verse for that. Okay, fine. Daniel chapter 10. I chose to do this in the New Living because it's a little easier to do. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia. So you know this actually happened. This is not hyperbole. Also known as Belteshazzar. And I had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. The only reason why I read that portion is because we need to be alert unto prayer in the last days. And if God taps your shoulder to do a fast, fast! And for sure, if Pastor Mark asks, announces an all-church fast over something, then join in on the fast. Amen. There's something special about that. You know, did you know that the Jewish people would fast? I believe it was twice a week. But some of them just did it as ritual. But you could use that as a time to just deny the flesh and focus on God. Amen. Just saying. You're not changing God's mind any. You're getting more keen yourself. So there's a number of things here which I'm going to skip because I have about 3 minutes. And it says, Daniel saw this vision and so forth. Verse 10, just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. The man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say. You have to understand, God loves you, Christian. God loves you. And he has some things to say to you. Is it something I did wrong? Not necessarily. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And then it says, when he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. And he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you began to pray, are you catching this? For understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request was heard in heaven. And I have come to answer your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, something you cannot see, blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of Persia. Now I'm come here to, I got relieved so I can now finally get to you. But do you see what's happening? Something in the heavenly sphere is affecting what's happening down here. So while you're praising in Hallelujah Hallway or on your knees or praying in the Holy Ghost, something is happening. I said something is happening. Like the song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. So you see, and then I wanted to jump down to verse 21. This is very important. He says, meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. And here it says, no one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. Now, I'm going to say something. I mean, I could be wrong, but just humor Pastor Tom for a couple of minutes. Notice he said, no one came to help me except your prince. All right, the angel assigned to you. Is it possible that if there were more people praying like this, taking time before the throne of God, that maybe other angels, because you know there's a lot of them in heaven, that would have come into the aid. But he said, up till now, nobody but your angel was able to do it. I just submit to you something. That the angels of the Lord, according to Hebrews, they're sent as flaming, like a flame of fire. They're sent to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. Is that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm on the last page and almost done, Pastor Nancy. Is it possible that it's important for us to take our places in prayer, like Pastor Mark is talking about on Wednesday nights? Yeah. Take your seat of authority, Christian.
That's right.
And you need to learn what to let go of and what to hang on to. You're going to take the promise of God and hang on to it and not trade it off for anything. Shut yourself in that prayer time and lift that up before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation, Psalm 103, 19 and 21. The Lord has made the heavens His throne, and from there He rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans, listen for each of His commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve Him and do His will. I just think that as we do things corporately and individually and lift up those promises before God and refuse to let go for not just our families, and you really should pray for your family. You should pray for your family and your friends, but we need to go way out into the deep too. We need to go out into the deep. It's so important for us to pray for the entire world that the will of God would be done in the earth today. There are a lot of demon spirits floating around, warring spirits, and we need to help bring the license them in the earth to come on in and let the will of God be done. See, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, I'm almost done. Almost. Hallelujah. You know, I like what it said in Ephesians 6, and I'll just close with some of these comments. So, Pastor Tom, why is it that sometimes it takes so long? Because there are other forces at work. I said there are other forces at work. And it's just the way it is. You take authority, you're not wrestling against people. Stop. Stop fussing with people. People are not your problem. Your boss is not your problem. Your wife is not your problem.
Amen to that, Pastor.
Your teenage son is not really your problem. There's something going on in the spirit around there. If you just take authority in the name of Jesus and bind the devil and loose the power of God, you'd be amazed at what could happen in your home, in your school, hallelujah, in your community, hallelujah. Binding and loosing, it's a key of the kingdom, one of them, hallelujah. I like what it says in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. Hallelujah. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. Not just the Word of Faith people, but we're not going to pray for the Baptists. No. Are you nuts? It says all God's people. I have news for you. When we all get to heaven, oh, what a shock we're all going to see. When you realize, like, you mean the Baptists made it? Yeah, they made it. You mean the Orthodox? Yeah, the Orthodox made it. You mean the Presbyterians? Yeah, the Presbyterians. All that call on the name of Jesus are going to be there. And you're not going to have any of these little labels that we have down here. But in the meantime, there are different companies, you understand. It says, Peter said, when we came to our own company, and I understand that there's company. I like my company. I hope you like, how many of you like our company here at Company Heart of the Bay? It's a beautiful place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, in closing, I keep saying in closing, I might say I'm fixing to close. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, and I really am closing. Pastor Nancy, get ready. I need you to help me with the altar call. But the end and culmination of all things has now come near. Keep sound-minded and self-restrained and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. Are you listening? Be alert for the practice of prayer. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. He can be trusted. His promises are the most powerful thing that you have on this side of heaven. That's right. You hang on to those promises. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy. Hallelujah.